Time Radio, all sports, all the time.
Time to roll out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday morning. So, hey, if you hadn't gotten around to reading yesterday's blog, it's still hanging out right there for you. So swing on by and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, Dan and I would really appreciate it. We still don't understand why Mr. Fantasy doesn't. You just got to understand, he's just like that. But Dan and I appreciate it when you like the page. Don't forget, though, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's in Twitter.
So, all right, Dan. You know, we got another one of these, I don't know, weird situations, however you want to describe it. You know, and it's in a sport that you and I don't really follow. That would be college football. You know, Ohio State had all their meetings. You know, they had the assistant coach who was, I guess it came out that he was, he had a domestic abuse conviction or something to that effect. I don't know all the facts in the case, but apparently the head coach, who is Urban Meyer, knew all about it. Or at least allegedly. I got to say allegedly because, you know, you and I don't know for sure. You know, and they had put him on indefinite leave. The season starts this week, Dan. I don't know if Ohio State is playing. I actually think they are. But the board met and, you know, consulted all the information and all that stuff. And they decided that Meyer will be suspended for the first three games of this season. You know, there were a lot of people lobbying for his firing. Of course, that would have cost the university a boatload of money. Dan, I don't know. Is this a situation where they expected – now, you know, and Meyer didn't commit any crimes. All he did was more or less kind of cover up for – I don't know if you want to call it a buddy or a coach. Or I didn't even know, not cover up. He just didn't tell anybody what was going on. Is that a crime in sense? Did he deserve more than three games, or were they expecting the university to try to be the executioner in this case?
Well, the problem that comes at hand with this one is the fact that, and I thought we talked about it, but I must have heard about it, is the fact that it's the state that pays him. So it's the people of the state.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in essence, where, you know, like the NFL – private, I mean, granted, not you and I, but, you know, us as the fans that go to the games that pay the tickets, essentially pay for it, but, well, I guess with the seat licenses, they should have some say in that, right? But, you know, more so with the college team and knowing that their tax dollars are paying, what is he, like the third highest paid coach in the state or in the country?
Yeah.
Forget the amount of Mega Millions that he's getting, but I think it almost becomes one of those things where, you know, if enough people reach out to their, you know, local representatives, that's where, you know, sometimes this will almost have to become the executioner of it in this case.
So, yeah, and he's scheduled to make $7.6 million this season. So, you know, there were some, you know, I guess the only way to describe them is interesting tidbits that I saw on this today. One of the things they stated, apparently Meyer willingly turned over his phone, but there were no text messages on it that were older than a year. And, you know, maybe that's strange to a guy like you, but that's not weird to a guy like me at all. I delete basically everything. The oddly, and you'll find this kind of humorous, the only thing I have on my phone that is older than a year is when you sent me a text to tell me your daughter had been born and the first pictures you sent me of her. That's the only thing on my phone right now that's older than a year, as weird as that is. And she just had her, what, second birthday?
Yeah, well, that's so you don't forget, right?
Right. And I still forget. I still had to ask you anyway. But, yeah, the, you know, that's the only thing I'm carrying. So, like, to a guy like me, that's weird. They made it seem as it was very suspicious. But, yeah, I wouldn't know. And then the other thing was they mentioned that apparently they said something to the fact that Michael suffers from some memory loss. Now, he wasn't a former player, so it's not a CTE issue or anything like that. But I kind of started wondering, Dan, you know, he just turned 54. He's actually only a year older than I am. You know, if he's having these issues now, is this really a guy you want coaching your team if he's having memory problems?
How long is his contract for?
Let me see if I can actually – I should be able to find that out. I thought I already just signed an extension. Don't know that for a fact. Let's see. Do we have anything here? Ohio State. He's signed right now through 2021. So it's technically three more seasons because this one hasn't started yet.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be an issue coming up. You know, that's why they have an assistant coach. But I would think going forward, you know, you may not want to extend it after 2020. And not only that, for his own health, and safety, is that like a precursor to Alzheimer's?
Yeah, you would wonder. Now, you know, this was the same guy who after the 2009 season took a leave of absence for health-related issues. So, you know, I don't know if they went into any details on what it was actually involved. Here you go. Frequent chest pains that they said was later caused by a gastrophalangeal reflux disease. And then occasional severe headaches due to an arachnoid cyst that was all related to stress. Arachnoid cyst, does that mean it was a spider? Oh, so I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. So, yeah, you know, I mean, you would have to kind of be concerned for your own health. And I mean, if he's making $7.6 million this year, it's probably going to go up the next 2 years. You know, you're hoping money isn't an issue, and that's why he's hanging around. I mean, I know he's a good coach, but you know, your health should come first. And yeah, that was a couple of the things that jumped out on me that I saw there. I do want to ask you, how many things do you have on your phone that are older than a year?
You know, honestly, I periodically go through and delete all the text so that it doesn't take up the memory.
So, which is part of the reasoning I do it, you know, that, and I mean, you know, I don't need, you know, Mr. Fantasy's confirmation of if I put our lineup in for the week. I mean, you know, what's the deal? You know, there's no real reason I need to hang on to that. You know, I do save the pictures of the cats my roommates send me, as weird as that sounds, but hey, I don't have kids, so what the hell.
Now,
do you see that as fishy?
No, because, I mean, looking at mine, there was two I forgot to delete from last September, but that was literally just two of them.
So
you know, but from what I understand, you know, if it were a criminal investigation, which I think you mentioned it's not, they would be able to subpoena text messages. So, I mean...
So, yeah, they could actually go back and get them if they wanted to, right?
Yeah. So, I you know, suspicious or not, you could delete, you know, he could have absolutely no text messages on his phone, like my father, who deletes them after he texts, after, you know, after the conversation is over with. You know, but again, if it were a criminal investigation and they went back so far, they could subpoena the records, which, I mean, obviously, I think he wouldn't have cooperated if he didn't have anything to hide, but I'll be honest, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. You can't prosecute off of that without subpoenaed, subpoena form, you know, ordered by a judge. So, you know, if they were able to find anything and they tried to prosecute him in court, it would be inadmissible because it's not, you wouldn't be, you know, gone through the proper channels to admit it and bring it into court. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know what they could have charged him with. I mean, I guess the only thing he did was cover it up, but I mean, it was a guy who had already been convicted. It's not like he was covering up a guy who committed a crime. So, I don't think there was any, like, real criminal footing here. It was just the, you know, more or less a question of right or wrong. You know, did he do the right thing? Keeping this guy on the job. You know, that's always a weird question as it is, because I mean, I get it. The guy committed a crime and he's not a good person, but you know, these people still need to work. You know, I mean, if that just happened to be the job he had, you know, that was the job he had. I guess maybe because it was for the state, is that what made it a bigger deal, you think?
I think so. I mean, you know, because people that live in that state are, you know, sending their kids there and trusting.
Yeah, but, you know, it didn't have anything to do with a kid. So, you know, I mean, it wasn't like Penn State. I don't know if he had any other allegations against other women. I didn't look into it because, like I said, I'm not a big-time college football guy as it is. I had only heard the allegations that had happened with his now ex-wife. So, but yeah, I wasn't sure. You know, I mean, do you think three games was enough? I mean, I don't really know. Should he have lost his job? Do you like the three games? Do you think he should have got more? You know, where do you kind of stand before we run away from this?
No, I think it's pretty sufficient. You know, I'm assuming that comes with no pay, right?
They didn't say. I'm sure I could knock that off. But, yeah, I would guess that, you know, yeah, there would be no pay while he's off. I believe he was paid while he was put on leave. So,
yeah.
But if they mention here if he'll be paid in this little article. So, yeah, it doesn't look like they have their more in-depth here. It does say that the university paid $5,000 to conduct the investigation. So,
yeah, which, I mean, I'm sure satisfies people, but to me, on accounting wise, that's kind of a waste of money.
Yeah.
But if you suspend him, then you don't have to pay him for three games. Maybe you get that money back. You know, there's not going to be any court proceedings with this, but, you know, what it comes down to is that he didn't cover it up, but he misappropriated the information and allowed a guy who is in a position to be a role model to still be on the team, which was, in light of bad decisions. You know, and as he said, he hit his heart, not his brain, but he doesn't get paid to do anything but win. So no matter what decision he made, he's damned if he do, he's damned if he don't. So.
Yeah, you know, and I actually didn't know this, but apparently Ohio State itself, they're under federal investigation for claims made against a Dr. Richard Strauss, who said Ohio State facilitated the abuse by ignoring complaints from 1979 to 1997 involving 14 male athletes. So, so yeah, I guess we'll, you know, the, I don't know. Who knows what goes on there. But, yeah, that's where they are. You know, Meyer got three games, so you and I will run away from that because I don't want to talk about it anymore. And I can tell you, Dan, there were five early games, and two of them were shutouts. The Phillies ended up shutting out the Nationals. Aaron Nola got the win. Max Scherzer took the loss, and Pat Neshek got the save. That was a 2-0 game. The Red Sox shut out the Indians 7-0. David Price got the win. Adam Pluko took the loss. The Tigers beat the White Sox 7-2. Matthew Boyd got the win, and James Shields took the loss. The Giants beat the Mets 3-1. Madison Bumgarner got the win. Jacob DeGrom got the loss, and Will Smith picked up the save. And a game that just ended, Ian Desmond hit a walk-off two-run homer as the Rockies beat the Padres 4-3. Chris Russell got the win, and Kirby Yates took the loss. But, you know, right here, Dan, on the schedule, the first game – they have starting in, about 25, 30 minutes. The Atlanta Braves are at the Miami Marlins for the first time since we had that Ronald Acuna incident. And the talk today has been, will the Braves respond? You know, they didn't respond in the last game. Now, Urania's not pitching for the Marlins. It's Eisler Hernandez tonight. So, I don't know. Do you see the Braves maybe firing back? Is tonight the night?
I don't know the coach down there, but I would think it'd be in the best interest of the team and the position they're in to just move forward and ignore it.
So, yeah, you would say, I'm looking here.
You know, if it were the Phillies, I think it would be a different story.
So, yeah, it doesn't look – it's a four-game series, obviously, since it's starting on Thursday night. And Urania isn't scheduled to pitch in any of the games. So it's not like it would be it would be him or anybody they would be going after. Your guy Wei Ying Chin is going to pitch in the series, but not Urania. So I hope they don't retaliate tonight because Sean Newcomb is my FanDuel pitcher. I thought he had a really good matchup, and I would hate to see him get ejected early for something stupid. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Again, speaking of FanDuel, I went with Acuna, Durant, Baez, and Freeman. I didn't realize I went with we had Slim Pickens tonight.
Yeah, I have Ozzie Albies, so I have a Brave as well. And then I also have Scooter Jeanette and Daniel Murphy. I didn't realize they had all second basemen until I had put it in. And I was like, oh, well, I'm not changing it. So that's where I'm going tonight.
Yeah, I went 1-2-3 in the batting order tonight. I went with a 50-50 lineup tonight as I'm down to about $4 now with three throwing in my dollar. So hopefully I get my dollar back. You mentioned yours, but you started with your pitcher with Newcomb, but kind of went the opposite route. I made kind of a balanced lineup as far as, you know, the money goes that they give you with hopefully Tyler Glass now hopefully can pitch well against Kansas City, Matt Olson, your guy LBA's, Eugenio Suarez, I picked Javi again, Piscotty, Malik Smith, Acuna, and Scooter. So hopefully the double up on our end won't cancel each other out tonight.
Yeah, I had to double check here, and oddly, I have your guys in my lineup. I mentioned Newcomb as my pitcher. I have Freddie Freeman at the catcher first base slot. Then it's Jed Lowry at second, Matt Chapman at third, Jorge Polanco at short. My outfield is Acuna, Chris Davis, and Carlos Gomez. And my utility guy is Rosel Herrera from the Royals. So, yeah. And obviously, you know, with the smaller sample size, I think there's only four games to pick from. So, you're going to end up with a multitude of guys.
Were you going with the stacking technique tonight with the A's?
No, it just kind of worked out today that they ended up you know, one of the sites I was looking at projects Chris Davis as the highest scorer of the night. So I figured I would plug him in since I had the money. You know, Newcomb was just 7,200, so he was kind of a value as a pitcher. So it allowed me to go through and really spend some money. You know, and then Carlos Gomez is supposed to be the undervalued play of the night at $2,100. I hate the fact that he's hitting eighth in the lineup, but, you know, I figured I would take a shot and plug him in. You know, normally I like the guys a little higher in the lineup, but, you know, we'll see. So, you know, and again, this is the free roll I've been playing, so it doesn't cost me anything. I haven't been winning anything, but it doesn't cost me anything either. So,
yeah, the last time you sent me that, I got the invitation only.
Oh, yeah. So, but, yeah, I had to make sure – I had to go through and confirm and make sure everybody was in. And, yeah, all my guys are in. And, you know, my WNBA free roll is all set to go, too, for tonight. So I should be rolling in as well. So not that I ever win anything in those. I don't think I've ever won a – I haven't even won change in a WNBA thing. I don't know what I'm doing there. So – you know, just one of those odd things.
Man, but it's free, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I figure, what the heck? Maybe I get lucky. I win a couple bucks. And, you know, I mean, it's a free roll. Why not? And, you know, I just throw it out there. So, you know, we'll see what's going. See what's happening. You never know. Maybe one of these days I'll get lucky and, you know, win a dollar or something. So, you know, just that fun kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm trying to think what else popped up that I – there was something else I wanted to bring up, and I just kind of spaced it off that I saw earlier on the MLB network. And I was like, just having one of those days, I guess. And I don't know why it is. Maybe because it's Thursday and I'm looking forward to the weekend already. But so, I did see, have you came across any nicknames you like? I guess this is nickname weekend.
Oh, players weekend.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it was cool last year, but I don't know. I think the jerseys, the colors that they use are pretty, like with the Cubs, they're just not appealing. So I don't know.
You're getting like me with the NFL jerseys on Thursday nights?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the only one I thought was kind of funny is, did you see Brad Boxberger's? Yeah, I don't know if he used emojis or if he just used symbols, but it's literally a box and a burger. So, you know, at least he was, yeah, you know, that I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. But yeah, other than that, I mean, you know, like I know some of the guys are, you know, like I read somewhere or heard somewhere that Mike Trout has a kid on the back of it. Eyes, but yet everybody calls him Trouty. So I'm like, wait, how did you pick this? You know, it's like, wait a minute. So.
Yeah, well, that's the hard thing. Like, you know, there's a few guys like Rizzo, they just put Tony on the back of his.
Wait, what did he put on the back of his?
They just put Tony.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I know, like, the, you know, the Indians pitcher had a good one. You know, they've got a pitcher by the name of Shane Bieber, so his nickname was Not Justin, which I thought was pretty humorous. You know, but, yeah, I mean, you know, like, yeah, like you said, I mean, I don't know how many times you do it before it just gets kind of blah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. But you know, I'm sure we'll wander back to baseball. But I did come across this, and I'm dying to know if this is something that you would actually go on the pay-per-view and order, even though I think I know the answer to this. Apparently, the Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson showdown is going to be on Thanksgiving and solely on pay-per-view. Are you interested at all in partaking in that?
No.
And then, of course, the next question, how's it going to do?
You would know better than I would.
No, I definitely think you would know better than I would when it comes to that. I mean, I have zero clue here. I don't understand. I guess they're playing for, it's a winner-take-all $9 million purse. Woods has actually played some decent golf this year. I don't think Mickelson has, but I guess it's 18 holes. I don't even know if I would be interested in watching it if it was on Blue TV. So I see why I would pay for it. It doesn't tell us what they're going to charge for it. That's what I was looking for.
To be honest, it doesn't make much sense to me, but I'm sure people will pay. You know, it's all about the buy rates, but, you know, the problem with that is, you know, the whole reasoning really with pay-per-view is, is this on a Saturday night?
They said Thanksgiving. That would be a Thursday, right?
I guess, you know, because my first reaction is you got to get people in their home. If you do it on Thanksgiving, though, here in America... Thanksgiving is for football. And why would I pay, you know, upwards of $50 to $100 to watch two guys golf it out for God knows how long it would take to golf that out, just two guys?
Be about 4 hours.
You know, 9 or 8. Yeah, I don't see there being much interest in that, to be honest. And, you know, back in the, what was it, the 80s? Yeah, the 80s when WWE did their, Survivor Series? I mean, that kind of made sense because that was at the end of the night. But and I don't think, you know, the NFL really had a hold on Thanksgiving back then, which is why, you know, WWE does it on Sunday night as opposed to Thanksgiving now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I think one of the reasons behind pay-per-view was because it wasn't just like a United States thing. It was more of a worldwide thing. You know, Mayweather, Pacquiao, the UFC stuff, but even WWE, which, you know, they do travel around the world, maybe not as much as I'm sure the world would like, but they do get the buys in all the other countries. And has golf hit that pinnacle where I know they've got the Masters in Britain, but, you know, aside from that area in the States, is golf that big throughout the rest of the world?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's a little off topic, but Thanksgiving used to be the biggest professional wrestling day in the world at one point in time.
I thought it was Christmas Day. Thanksgiving.
No, Christmas is right there. Thanksgiving was actually, I think Christmas might have been second. So, but yeah, you know, and I saw this yesterday, and I can't say I'm surprised that this is the way it went. They had an interview on Intentional Talk yesterday, which is the show hosted by Chris Rose and Kevin Millar. It airs normally from 3 to 4 on the Mickey Mouse Network. I think it's on The Deuce. Sometimes that's what the show takes, but yeah, it jumps over from 4 to 5. It's on MLB Network. Now, yesterday they had Derek Holland on. He's now a San Francisco Giants pitcher. Now, Holland is very entertaining. He's actually quite a humorous guy. And yesterday he said something that I was kind of wondering how it worked. When he did his interview, he had Haro, and I'm going to guess this is Ogawa, who is the team's massage therapist, with him in the interview. And, you know, he's you know, I don't know if he's the athlete or what it is, but he's needing to defend. Haro wanted him to be kind of like his humorous type man. Because his English isn't that good. And, you know, he was trying to have some fun with him. And, of course, you know, Dan, everybody spun this into a racist segment. So Holland actually had to come out today and apologize for it. Now, of course, he wasn't attempting to do any, you know, any of this. And I don't think the massage therapist took it in any way, shape, or form in that way. But since we're ultra-sensitive America now, Holland had to come out and say he was sorry. And it says here the Giants even had to issue an apology. You know, Dan, I understand, you know, there's racist people out there, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what color you are. There's somebody out there who's going to hate you because of that color, and that's incredibly stupid, but sadly, that's the world we live in. Do we really have to nitpick like this, kind of just make it worse than it is?
I mean, I actually have to see how it took place. I don't understand the context of, you know, what happened. So.
Yeah, well, I guess, and I didn't see the whole interview, but I missed this part. I guess at one point, apparently, Holland bowed to him and then spoke in a really bad Asian accent. So, you know, I mean, my guess is, you know, bad comedy or, you know, however you want to look at it, but... you know, there's so much going on that we blow up these little things into, you know, I mean, Derek Holland's not going out, you know, he doesn't appear to be a racist. So, you know, maybe we should go after the guys who really are the problem with this and kind of stop nitpicking a little bit, I guess would be a way to look at it.
Yeah, but sadly, in this day and age, you can't do anything without being completely ridiculed, especially on a national stage.
No, well, here's an extension of this, Dan. Somebody went back and found some tweets made by a 17-year-old Michael Kopech, who just made his debut for the White Sox a couple days ago. And, of course, they were homophobic and racist. So
now we should hang him, right?
Yeah, you know, they went back and, you know, like, you know, Kopech even, you know, he admitted to the tweets. He said, you know, they were immature and inappropriate. And at 17, that's exactly what you are. You're immature and inappropriate. There's no doubt about it. He's only 22. He's probably still immature and inappropriate. So, you know, I mean, it's just this thing. You know, Dan, when do we get to the point when athletes no longer participate in social media?
Oh, it's coming. It's going to be here within the next 5 years. I mean, you know, for instance, where I used to live in the small town where Steve McMichael lives, it's actually not a small town. They're almost up to 50,000 people. Hey, you know, they have their baseball organization, not the towns, but a group that has a facility there. They're based in a town close to where I live now, and then also in Wisconsin, and they're called the Rhinos. There's actually another one, a baseball group that's by my new house. I forgot what they're called. And I mentioned this before, a girl I used to work with, and they don't have their own group, but it's a training facility that's the Bo Jackson Dome here in Illinois. But the one thing I noticed about the Rhinos, and, you know, you could look them up and stuff, you know, their whole goal is to train kids and, you know, they got to travel. And the one thing that you're not a big fan of is, you know, year-round baseball. But, you know, they go about that point to where they're trying to get kids you know, of course they'd love to jump on the fact that if they got a guy signed, but they're pushing towards getting kids scholarships to obviously to college, because that's where you get a scholarship to. And, you know, I haven't seen it on there, but I'm assuming that groups like this, and you know they're all across the country. I'm just thinking about the one I know. You know, groups like this that are going to have, you know, maybe a team with the likes of, you know, let's just throw it out there, Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper, like they did in Vegas where those two guys played together. I'm sure we're going to get to the point where these groups, and I'm not just saying just baseball, this is going to go, you know, for all sports, you know, with the football programs, you know, your local, you know, every town has that local football program that's, you know, over the last 40 years has just kind of blown up. They're probably going to get to the point to where, you know, they're going to either instruct their parents and the kids to lay off social media or allow them to have it, but strictly and quickly monitor everything they say and do. And it'll probably get to the point to where athletes will be given courses on social media. You know, because that was one of the things, one of my kids we used to wrestle with, you and I, when he came up and was training and I was working with him when he first started, he was talking about a friend that he had that I believe got a basketball scholarship before and, you know, went off to this big college. And, you know, not everyone on that team was, you know, from the area we were from in the suburbs, and they had to take a freshman course. And I don't mean to be graphic, but one of the things in this course for the athletes only, they were instructed that to engage in sexual stuff with a woman or a young lady, that once they're finished and they should use protection, that they are the ones that dispose of that protection themselves and do not, you know, allow the female to do so in the event that she tries to manipulate it. You know, you can go on from there. So I think, you know, and I'm like, you're kidding. He goes, no, I'm not kidding. This really happened. And, you know, I think that's what's going to happen with high school, especially with the high school sports. I think they're going to probably, you know, giving little courses on instructing these kids to lay off of social media with anything other than, hey, Big Jack, happy birthday.
Yeah. You know, that seems to be, you know, where we're kind of headed, or maybe they use it to promote whatever they have going on, because, yeah, I mean, at this point,
right,
and
there.
I mean, while they're obviously stupid tweets, and I mean, it's insensitive, and I mean, they shouldn't be saying stuff like that. But, you know, again, I mean, maybe these people, you know, digging up these tweets don't remember what they were like at 17. You know, like there was no Twitter or anything like that when I was 17. I mean, you know, I don't even think there was really an internet back then. So, you know, I didn't have to deal with this kind of insanity. I mean, I could just imagine, you know, the stuff we would have posted with, you know, the stupid stuff we did, and, you know, just kind of, you know, all of that goes into this. And yeah, I don't know, you know what I mean? Obviously it's not right what he posted or anything like that. I'm not going to try to say that. I mean, that would be incredibly stupid, but yeah, I don't know anymore when it comes to this. I mean, what did this help or change, or, you know, I mean, is Michael Kopech a homophobe? Is he a racist? I don't think so. We don't really know him. I know his, I believe they're just dating. I believe it's just his girlfriend has been the target of a lot of, you know, the Twitter trolls and stuff like that. You know, they've dealt like that. She's, I don't remember her name, but I know she's the daughter of one of the Real Housewives of, maybe Atlanta, I want to say. So I believe that's correct. But yeah, I don't get it. You know, it's kind of like I don't understand what going back to do this does. You know, again, like I said, did it change your opinion of him? I mean, we're talking about something he said 5 years ago. I couldn't tell you what I said 5 years ago. You know, could you tell me what you did 5 years ago? Hell, I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch. Well, actually, I could today because I didn't have lunch. I slept through it. But, yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of times, you know, I mean, I don't remember what I've eaten from day to day. Maybe that's why I'm a big fatso. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I should look into that, shouldn't I? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you want to go through my Twitter history, I haven't had it that long. I don't think I've said anything horrendous like that. I have taken shots at people, but not in a homophobic or racist way. You know, at least I don't believe so. You never know how things can get twisted. But I believe, you know, like in this case, I think Kopech went back and deleted the tweets, but like Dan had mentioned, you know, kind of like text messages, you can still get them, you know, but I mean, just imagine the tedious nature of going through every tweet somebody had sent since they've joined Twitter. You know, I mean, like, I'm not a huge, I guess you would call it tweeter, right? Is that what it is when you tweeted something out? You know, I mean, I don't send out a bunch of stuff, but I mean, you're looking at here, I've sent out 17,700 tweets in the time I've been on Twitter. Could you imagine trying to go through that to look and see just what I might have sent out? You know, I mean, is it, would it be worth it? Is that worth it? You know, to find, you know, one homophobic or racist tweet? I don't know. You know, I guess, you know, may obviously it is to the person who did it. But I just don't know in the end. I mean, are you trying to ruin Michael Kopech's career by bringing this up? You know, and I mean, I'm sure you would go with, well, you know, you feel the people had the right to know. Do you think a baseball fan cares at this point? Because or a White Sox fan, because I hate to tell you, the answer is going to be no. You know, you're not going to like it, but that's going to be the answer. You know, they're not going to really worry too much about something that happened 5 years ago from a guy who looks to be their future ace. So I don't. What's the end game? You know, where are you going? Or you know, what benefits are you reaping here? You know, or do you just want to be the one who can jump up and down and say, "Hey, I found this." Oh, okay, cool. You found it. Congratulations.
I mean, pretty much it's just, you know, everyone's looking for a headline grabber, and then, you know, everyone's just trying to attack everyone's character.
Yeah, I just don't get it. It's like, okay, you know, so you found this old tweet from a 17-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You know, what do you want us to do about it? You know, I mean, you know, the media is going to ask him about it. He's going to answer some questions and it's going to go away. I mean, have you heard anything about the Josh Hader stuff or the Josh Allen stuff or any of those other guys? They dimed out like this since they've addressed the media about their tweets?
No.
No, it just went away. So Kopech addressed the media already, so it's probably gone. You know, maybe it comes up one more time, but I'm sure we don't hear about it again.
No, I mean, I doubt, well, number one, I was going to say, I doubt national guys like Alex Rodriguez and Mendoza would bring it up, but we both know that the White Sox are not going to be on a Sunday Night Baseball for this season or the next couple seasons.
Yeah. So, at least they happen to be playing the Yankees or the Red Sox on a Sunday. then, you know, then maybe they end up, they sneak in there.
Yeah, but, you know, for this season, I don't see that happening. They're not going, you know, the White Sox aren't going to be baseball night in America on Saturday with Fox. And,
no.
You know, forget, and TBS does like one game a month. So they keep their hands in baseball for some reason, which I don't understand. Oh, we do the playoffs, but we don't do the whole season. What the hell's the point, Ted Turner? You know, figure your station out. Yeah, it's that one's ridiculous. But, you know, that'd be like WGN hosting the wild card game on TV. But, you know, I mean, like you said, it'll kind of go away. I don't really see Steve Stone and his co-host, or what do you call him, co-announcer, really diving into that anymore after it's been kind of done and over with. And like you said, with Hader, you know, he apologized, and the Brewers fans, you know, accepted that apology, and his, you know, teammates that were not of Caucasian race got behind him too. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but like you said, this, the era that we live in, is everyone is very sensitive and very touchy, and sometimes you're looking for something that's not really there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah, you know
said,
what I mean? Like, you know,
judging a man by what he did as a kid, well, what everyone's looking for is that, oh, well, there were signs. Yeah, here it started.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, Kopech should make his second start on Sunday. Nobody's going to care. You know, it falls into this thing where there is so many other people out there who are actual racists and actual homophobes that we're not going to worry about what some stupid high school kid shot his mouth off. I mean, you know, you should hear what these kids say now. I live in an area that has basically middle school kids going into high school. And, you know, when the windows are open and the doors are open, you should hear some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth. So, you know, hopefully they grow out of it. You know, you don't want them to be the next, you know, Adolf Hitler or anything like that. And obviously that's an extreme reference. But, you know, I mean, they're kids, and kids do stupid things. That's why we have parents.
Well, and you mentioned what it's like for these kids outside, Big Jack, which you don't hear because you're just not, and neither am I, kids on video games.
Yeah.
You know? I've heard some things.
Yeah,
I'm like, cool.
Yeah, I've heard some stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but all right. Well, you know, and some NBA news, Dan. The league is expected to make some rule changes. And the big one apparently is going to be that on an offensive rebound, instead of the shot clock going back to 24, it's going to go back to 14 seconds.
Huh. Are they hanging out with Rob Manfred trying to speed up the game?
You know, well, you know, the weird part is I don't know if this will speed up the game, but the one thing the NBA doesn't lack is offense, and this will probably actually produce more offense.
Wow.
So, you know, and then they're going to try to simplify the clear path foul rule, expanding the definition of the hostile act to more easily trigger instant replay. Yeah, just what the NBA needs is more instant replay, guys. So,
well, you know, and again, I don't think you have an issue with instant replay. I don't really have an issue with instant replay. What I have an issue with is the, for lack of a better word, dumbass system they have in play for instant replay here in Major League Baseball and the NBA. I mean, the NBA is worse. The two referees go over and a guy turns the TV around and they watch it. Are you kidding me? Like, this is garbage. This, you know, you might have, what is this, 1977? You know, why not pull out a Zenith and roll it onto the court for them to watch? It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand what the amount of money that the NBA has been getting from the mothership to broadcast their games and to keep jumping up the player salaries. I mean, why not skip a jump in the salary cap and throw some money in investing into a centralized instant replay room where we actually get to see who's making these calls and what the calls are? Because that's one of the things I hate about Major League Baseball is what their thing is. I mean, who's making the call? Who? We don't know. We don't know who's watching over it, wherever the hell they're watching it. They could just be two guys sitting in a room and flipping a quarter. You know, because, I mean, honestly, we've seen some really bad replays in Major League Baseball where the guy was clearly out, but they're like, no, he's safe, or, you know, vice versa. And, I mean, accountability is one thing. I mean, but some of the, what they've got going on is such crap. And the way they do it in the NBA, I mean, you need to stop all this play. I mean, the way it's supposed to be instant replay, not five-minute replay. That's not instant.
So, yeah, they mentioned here in this article with the shot clock reset that they expect that it will increase shot attempts. Didn't think that was the NBA, what the NBA needed, Dan, but apparently we're going to get to see more, even more shooting. So, and then with what they describe as the hostile app, what they want to do is they want to extend the instant replay beyond interaction with another player to also include interactions with a referee, a coach, or even a fan. So that'll be to watch over and over and over.
So when can't think of a rowdy NBA guy at the moment, but gets mad at a fan sitting courtside, we're going to have to watch that instant replay?
That's the way they're talking. We're going to have to see if it was a hostile interaction. So I don't know.
Now, with that 14 seconds, which I think might be a little bit more, obviously more interesting because we're obviously going to get a lot of offensive rebounds. Do you think that prevents teams from leaving a guy, you know, once the shot goes off? You know, let's just say, for instance, with the Bulls, who aren't that great of a three-point shooting team, they toss it up in the air because they got the quick break or whatever, because, you know, back in the day, quick fast breaks used to constitute a slam dunk layup or, you know, a two-on-one or something, but now it's just a three-point shot where the guy ran down to the key and threw it up to the top. Do you think that will kind of help eliminate guys just hanging out back on the other side of the court and maybe bring back a little bit more defense?
Yeah, it's not going to bring back defense, but it might bring back the other thing. You know, defense is in the NBA that we're never going to see that again because they like
– no.
You know, they like scoring and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we're definitely not going to see that. But, yeah, it may cut down on some of the cherry picking. You know, guys maybe trying to run out on stuff like that. So, you know, we'll have to see how it shakes out. You know, again, it's just kind of like, we're, you know, more shot attempts. I don't know if, you know, if that's what we necessarily needed, because it's just going to be a guy getting a rebound, throwing it out to the 3-point line. You know, it's not like we're going to get a guy getting a rebound and look up for a huge dunk. He's just going to kick it up to the 3-point line.
Well, they pretty much almost have to in that situation, though, with only 14 seconds, right? You got to.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you think that'll bring back the actual center position? Will we see guys who are actual centers again?
You know, you got to wonder if maybe it would give the teams an instance to bring back, you know, a rebounder. You know, maybe not what you would describe as a center, but a guy who can actually go out and get some rebounds. So, you know, I mean, that's possible, something to, you know, something to look for. I mean, you know, the big man has basically been played out of the game for, you know, three-point shooting and, you know, fast-paced action. So,
yeah, because, I mean, that affects our fantasy league. You do realize that. I mean, rebounds are – now you're going to possibly be looking for a rebounder, maybe two.
Yeah, it's difficult to you know, you can't always find those guards who are going to rebound. So, you know, you got to make sure you're you know, you're finding a way to fill that category, and it's not always easy. So, but yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of works out. You know, I mean, I'm not too thrilled with, you know, the other ones, because the last thing I want is more freaking replay. So we'll have to see how that works out. I mean, the what I would have loved to seen them do is address the end of games, you know, and try to find a way to make that work quicker. But, you know, who knows, maybe that's what the shot clock will do, because you'll get, you know, you get a rebound late in the game, you'll only have 14 seconds instead of 24. So, you know, teams won't be able to run out the clock as much. And, you know, in return, if a team misses, you know, they're going to have to make a quick fire instead of being able to reset. But, you know, yeah, I would have loved to see them take some timeouts away from teams or, you know, something like that late in the game, so we don't have to sit there for 15 minutes to get the final 2 minutes of the game to play.
Yeah, or institute instant replay when the referee makes a bad call, like, you know, LeBron getting elbowed by his own teammate and the other side getting a flagrant foul.
Yeah. That was one of the best calls in basketball history. Oh, got hit by his own teammate and got to go to the free throw line. So.
Yeah. I mean, if I were him, I'd be doing it all the time.
Yeah. Well, follow me again.
You know, and I know we joke about it, and kind of on an ending note, it almost reminds me of like an old Ric Flair thing. You know, you poke the referee in the eye, you elbow your, you know, you fall down. And
yeah.
You know, you make it look like...
a bad heel wrestling move there, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, make a loud noise with the chair to your opponent and fall down. So
yeah. I've done that one, but sadly I've also missed my opponent and hit the top rope and took myself out.
Oh, hey, you know, those things will happen. I once had my pants fall down in the middle of the ring because my belt broke. So, you know, it's the joys of being a professional wrestler, you know. You got to have those little experiences, you know. I once hit the corner the same time as my tag partner on the other side, and the rope broke, and we both went out to the floor. So,
nice.
Yeah, you know, those, you know, again. Oh, just one of those fun things you got to experience. Hello, but I want to let you know that I'm going to get out of here. I have to do something for the family. It's just going to be exciting. I'm just going to be prepared with daughters. I'm just going to be prepared with tomorrow at 5:30 for me to see. But while we're on, newstimeradio.com, check what's going on over there. Click this link, take yourself over to the Facebook page, click on the like page. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter. There's always a new thing for listening live. The podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and listen to at 2